blessing in our home that comes through living in a house where there's peacemakers. My wife and I said a long time ago that if you have peace in your home, you have everything that you need. I don't care what kind of house you live in, what kind of cars are parked in the driveway, how much money is in your account. If you don't have peace, you don't have anything. And Jesus encourages us to strive for that. Many homes are characterized by conflict and stress and emotional dysfunction because of a perpetuation of negative decisions and choices throughout not only their own personal life, but the lives of their parents as well. And that brings on such another complicated, another level of moving parts. When you're dealing with things in your own life and you find out that your parents dealt with things or had these issues, or your grandparents, and now the sin of your father, your grandfather is visiting you, and you've got to stand up against that, and all of these things are swirling around, you have to learn that in the middle of that, you've got to make the choices that are going to benefit and be godly and bring the peace in your home that he says that you can have. And then our generation is also dealing with a level of unforgiveness from something that happened in our lives years ago or happened to us. Somebody hurt us. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. And it brings this level of agitation in our lives. And when we don't forgive, we carry that with us for the rest of our lives. And anything that comes close to it creates this blow up in our lives. And today I want to share with you one of these Beatitudes that Jesus communicated in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. And he says it simply, "Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons," or the children, one translation says, "of God." The original word for peace here means a little bit more than we're used to. The word shalom means more than just the absence of bad, or "I wish you don't have hard times." The word shalom, peace, also means "I wish you the highest good." And so Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who create the highest good in our home. He doesn't mean when he says that just he wants your home strife-free, but he also wants your home to have the highest good. I mean, I just think that is so wonderful. That really connected with my spirit. And peacemakers are children of God because that's the way God's children act. They want the highest good. They want to give peace and create peace. And even when Jesus said it, it was countercultural then as it is now, because then everybody was raised with a mindset much like our culture is today. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. You steal from me, I steal from you. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. And as I said earlier in the first service, when Christians say karma's going to happen to you, there's no karma in a Christian life. Whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. But I want to give you something greater that Jesus can get in the middle of your garden. If you'll give it to him, he can uproot the weed seeds that you sowed unintentionally or intentionally. And if you'll trust him and you'll repent of it and you'll give him your life, he will pluck those seeds out and he will put some good seeds for you to harvest later. I'm a living testimony of what I'm just telling you there. But Jesus says you're blessed if you're a peacemaker, because he's saying if you want to follow me, there's a higher calling that is going to be on your life. You just can't live and do what everybody else says. And what he says blessed are the peacemakers. He didn't say, listen to me now, he didn't say blessed are the peacekeepers. There's a difference. A peacekeeper wants to avoid conflict to keep the peace. Yeah, my father-in-law has been gone with the Lord now 10 years. He was someone like that. He'd get upset. He'd say some things that he wished he hadn't said. And then he'd just move on. And hopefully nobody would remember them anymore. They just go away. And I talk to people all the time that they go through issues and challenges. And they just think, well, we just hope it'll just go away. Come on, how many of you know it doesn't just float off into the sunset? It's staying right there on a shelf right near you, staring you in the eye morning, noon, and night until you face it and you deal with it. Because if you just want to be a peacekeeper, you'll avoid the conflict at the time. But then all of a sudden, everything comes together at once and an explosion of pain and hurt comes. I remember what you did to me 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago. I remember when you kicked the dog or pinched the cat's tail or you did this or you did that. And if you don't deal with it at the moment, at the appropriate time, and I'll get to that in a minute, you just want to be a peacekeeper. You just want to, I just want peace. I don't care. Okay, we'll just, it's okay. But Jesus said, blessed are the peacekeepers, not the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacekeepers. Blessed are the peacemakers. I'm getting mixed up here now. Blessed are the peacemakers, not just keepers. A peacekeeper never resolves, never addresses the challenge. Peacemakers embrace the conflict and say, look, we're going to work through this. We're going to deal with it. We're going to come to terms. We're not going to beat around the issues, but we're going to work through them. And we're going to trust the Prince of Peace to be in our corner and help us with the issues. There's a book that we've had around, and we went to a seminar last summer, and the gentleman talked about having crucial conversations. Those are important conversations about things that we know that are there. We just don't want to talk about them. You need to talk about them. You need to deal with it. Because we're not just living as Christians in a home. We should be living in a Christ-centered home where Jesus just isn't a part of our life. He is our life. He is all of our life. And we're fully devoted to Him. And it's not just a term that we use, but it's a lifestyle that we live. And Christ-centered homes are not conflict-free. They go through challenges. They go through issues. But we work through them. We can deal through them. And I'm going to tell you something. Married 37 years to me, you think it was without conflicts? It was conflict every other day for the first 20 years of our lives. But Jesus helps us. And listen to what Paul says in Romans 12 and 17. He says, repay no one evil for evil. Get that mindset out of you. They'll get theirs. He's going to get his. Well, God's going to get him. No, he's not. If a person will repent before the Lord, listen to me now. I don't care what kind of doctrine you've locked into. If you'll repent before the Lord, the Bible says he'll put your sin as far as the east is from the west. Read it in Psalm 103. And God said, I'll remember your sin no more. Somebody ought to be thankful for that today. Are there any past sinners in this house? He says, repay no one evil for evil. If we did that, we'd be busy all the time. And somebody would be busy with us all the time. But he said, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Verse 18, and here's where it comes to you and I. If possible, and sometimes it's not, but he says, when possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all, with everyone. When it's up to you. And how many of you know it's usually up to us? Verse 21, it says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I love that scripture. So what do peacemakers do? Here's three thoughts, and then we're just going to move on. They tell the truth in love. In love. They tell the truth in love. Used to go to church with years, 30 years ago, this lady, she'd walk into church, she'd walk up to me, that's an ugly tie you got on. I go, well, good morning to you. She says, sorry, I just got to tell it the way it is. How many of you know that's not the way it is? It might not be your taste, but it's not your call to say whether somebody is ugly or not. I just got to keep on going on that right now. You got to speak truth in love. You know, my wife has said, my son, Garrett, he's the fashionista of our home. Dad, that doesn't look good. Or I'll have it laid out on the bed and I'll hear this. Oh my goodness, Dad, you are not going to wear that today, are you? I mean, he needs a little help in speaking truth and love, but that's a different scenario. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Notice the word, it says we speak truth in love, that we don't yell truth in love. Some of us need to be delivered from a spirit of yelling and screaming and hollering. Louder is not better when it comes to communication. Just because the other person is yelling too doesn't mean that now we're in this match and we're in a screaming match back and forth. And can I just say something else? And I haven't always done this right. My wife and I'm telling you what, she's hollered at me. I'm just joking, no. We've hollered at ourselves in front of our kids when they were growing up, and nothing could be worse to do as a testimony to your children. Amen, Pastor. Thank you for sharing that. I want to have a good home too. Leave me hanging out there while I'm burying myself. We speak. We don't yell. And there's a right and a wrong time to deal with conflict as well. We speak. We tell the truth in love. We deal with the issue, with the conflict in times when we're not bringing a whole other load of conflicts. Yeah, and another thing I want to tell you. Yeah, I got you in this. I want to tell you this and this and this. Do you remember what you did to me there and how you spoke to me? And I didn't like that. And another thing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Come on, you're quiet, but I know you're taking it in. You got to wait sometimes until the dust settles in order to have that crucial conversation. You have to create a conversation, an atmosphere for the right conversation. And can I just say to husbands and wives, that moment is not at the most intimate time in your marriage. Amen. Do I have to elaborate on that more? You don't have those conversations at that moment. You have those, some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about right now. You have those conversations when you have a mutual moment where you're going to sit down and you say, we're going to talk about this and we're going to bring the love and the power of Jesus in this. And we don't confront or deal with issues that are outside of the dimensions that we're comfortable with either. Listen, let me just take it to another level. Let me take it out of families. You don't deal with issues with people inside the walls of the church. That's not your time to take up and to meet with somebody and tell them what you think that they ought to change or be like in their lives. This, you can amen me if you want. This is a safe zone. If you have something you want to tell somebody, cough up some money and take them out to lunch or take them out to coffee and say, hey, my brother, I wanted to talk to you about this. I love you and I wanted to share this about you and speak it in love. But don't wait until they get, I can't wait till I see them in church. I was telling the story in the earlier service how years ago we had an altar call in church service, great service. God was moving. People are getting saved. People are crying at the altar. And this person walks down, and I could see him out of the corner of my eye. And he says, I want to talk to you. And they just unloaded on me right up there. And I shook their hand, and I looked at him. Thank you very much. And they turned around. I turned around, walked away. I said, I'm going home. I'm going to get my tractor. I'm driving it right over their car. Just being honest with you. Thought about it. No, I won't do that. I'll just throw a rock through their window. That's all. I was just seething and so, boy, I'd like to scream. Oh, I'm telling you, I needed a crucial conversation. I needed the Prince of Peace in my life. And I went all through those spanked uraniums of what I thought would be appropriate, which none of them were. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Am I the only guy here? Thank God. You all are leaving me hanging a lot this morning. I said, what would my pastor do? What would Pastor Ron do? I could hear his voice. He'd say, go talk to them. So I did. Called them up next day. I'd like to come and talk to you. Sure. I'm outside. Perfect time. Drove over. Hey, how you doing? Good. How you doing? Good. Oh, nice yard. Yep, nice. You didn't come to talk to me about my yard. What'd you come over here for? Well, I just wanted to tell you that I've learned over the years that the time when the enemy attacks me is either just before a service to take away my attention or right after a service take away the joy that God did in that service. And I just want you to know, yesterday, the devil embodied you. He used you in my life, and that wasn't appropriate. And I want you to know, don't ever come and do that to me ever again. Are we clear on that? Yes, sir, we're clear. Thank you. It was so good to see you today. Man, your grass does look good. Have a good day. I'm telling you what, I walked away after that. Burdens were lifted on a front lawn, at Calvary that day. You got to have the conversation. If I left that undone, if I dealt with that at the altar, would have taken all the attention off of what's doing. Do not have those conversations in church. Come on, everybody say amen. Speak the truth in love, but not in a confronting way in the wrong atmosphere. Number two, we're talking about peacemakers and having peace in your home. Apologize when you are wrong. That's a novel idea, isn't it? James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sin, not everybody else's, your sin to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. What would our relationships be that if the moment we wrong someone, we confessed it. We said, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. I own it. And pray for one another. We have to, in our homes, in our families, admit to our specific actions and attitudes with no excuses, period. I told this in the first service. I didn't tell everybody else. I came home from the gym the other day, preparing for a great day. I had some phone calls at home, doing a little study. I'm coming into church, and I come up the street. I saw Miss D. Gardner parked. She stopped at the stoplight right in front of me on Clinton Street. And I was going to blow the horn, but I thought, I'll wait, and I'll go up next to her. She left. I looked out my window. I pushed on my gas. She hadn't moved. I ran right up in the back of her and hit her. I got out of my car. I said, dear Lord. I ran up to the car window, and I said, are you okay? I'm so sorry. And she said to me afterwards, she goes, I knew you were fast, but I didn't know you could get to an accident scene that fast. It was me. We pull up around the corner, calling the police. I'm so sorry. I'm owning it. It's my fault. Police came. What happened? I hit her. I ran right in the back of her, told him what happened. He comes back, hands us to it. I said, you going to give me a ticket? He goes, nah, I'm not going to give you a ticket. I said, you're a nice guy. You'd be a nice guy if you gave me a ticket. Owning it. I'm not telling you that you can just do things, flub-ups, and that you'll get out of them. I am telling you that if you make a flub-up and you own it, God will help you through it. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And there's a big difference between remorse and repentance. Remorse says, I'm sorry that you're hurt. Remorse would have been, oh, I'm sorry. But repentance is, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And when we do that, we bring a pathway to having peace in our home. I'm helping somebody today. And even if there's hurt, repentance will always begin the healing process. You know, I went to the calling hours. I shared this with you a few weeks ago, the young lady that lost her life in that terrible accident. And I'm standing there, and that precious parents are there, and I hugged them, and that beautiful 18-year-old girl laying in that coffin. My heart broke. Oh, my goodness. Emotions came up to me from when my brother was killed, and I had such pain and pain for that precious couple, and I hugged them, and they were hugging me, and I never met him before in my life. Don't know if I'll ever see him again. Didn't do it for that. Did it because it was the right thing. And then I met with a couple the following day that was arguing over the most foolish things in the world. And I told them that story. And I said to them, can't you get along? I'm not a very good counselor. I was standing in a funeral home where parents had to look at their dead child. And you're arguing over this? Can't you get along? Say, gee, I guess we could try better. Sorry, Pastor. Well, it's not me. I just want you to work at that. Blessed are peacemakers. You want peace in your home? You own it. You make a mistake? Okay. And if somebody wronged you, you forgive them. Which takes me to the last point. Forgive and let go. And nobody's trying to minimize what pain or what hurt that anyone has experienced. We all experience pain. We all experience letdowns. We all experience hurt. We all get abused. We all have something happen to our lives. It's not easy, but it's doable and it's important. Listen to this. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I get past that? Colossians 3:13, bear with each other. Some of you need to get better at bearing with other people. You get bristled at real easy. Forgive one another. You need to work on that. If any of you has a grievance against someone, how? Look at that last point. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. I don't know if you've been forgiven of any sin, but I've been forgiven of a boatload. And I can forgive others because I know He has forgiven me. He has cleansed me. And He is living in me. And because He is in me, it gives me the ability to forgive others much more easier. Amen. What we don't do is when it gets tough, that we just say, forget it. I'm not happy. Who said you were going to be happy all the time? That's a lie. If you're pursuing happiness in your home, in your marriage, in your life, if that's all you want, my brothers and my sisters, you're going down a shallow road. We don't do what makes us happy all the time. We do what's right. What we don't do is when our children mess up too, we don't write our children off. We stand with our kids. We pray over them. We don't walk away from our family. Family is worth it. We want to create peace in our homes. And we're going to have to forgive just as we've been forgiven. We're going to have to show mercy as we've been shown mercy. And we're going to have to show grace just as we've been shown grace. Because listen, my brothers and my sisters, we're beyond just blood. We are the family of God. We've got to work this thing out. We've got to make it right. We've got to deal with it. We've got to live with one another. You can get mad at me. You can run, but you can't hide. Because if you get mad at me or get mad at Joe or Bill or Susie or your husband or your wife, you will wake up the rest of your life if you don't forgive with that face looking at you the moment that you open up your eyes. Forgive. Release it. Let the power and the anointing and the love of Jesus fill your heart and your soul so you can move on and be who God has called you to be. Amen. Praise His name. As Forrest Gump would say, that's about all I got to say about that. Amen. Close your eyes. I want to pray for you. You're in this house. You're going through pain and struggle and just mess up. He wants to help you. I don't even want a hand raised. You just know who you are today. God wants to, He wants to come to you. He wants to help you. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you right now. Then we're going to receive the offering. Then I'm going to have the prayer folk come up here. If before you leave, you say, you know what, I just need somebody to agree in prayer with me. We're going to do that before we leave today. I never want to do that. I never want to end the service either without giving you just the privilege of coming to know Jesus as your Savior. You need Him in your life. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He's not waiting to beat you up or beat you down. He's waiting to come into your life and bring peace and help and hope to you. Life and love. You saw Brad up here earlier. If you knew his testimony before he knew Jesus, the family scenario that he was raised in, it's devastating for him to stand up here with me and say, hey, come to this class. It's a miracle in itself, but God, He not only did it in him, He can do it in anyone. He can make you live. He can make you new. You need Jesus today, right where you're at. Just ask Him right now. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I've got many, God. I ask You to come. Be my Lord, my Savior. You're here today. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And you're going through challenges in your home. Maybe you're a single mom. Maybe you're a single dad. There's no peace in your home. Maybe something happened. I don't know all the details. Life can be so complicated, can it? But Jesus can be an anchor of the soul to hold you and keep you from drifting away and keep you from more hurt and more pain coming into your heart and into your life. I just want to pray for you right where you're at. Father, for my brother, my sister, pray for, I come into agreement with children here, for their parents today, God. For parents, for their children, grandparents, that you would be real to them. God, that they would know the power of a peacemaker in their home. I wish them, and you do too, the highest good. I pray today that where there's transgression, that Lord, you will cause that individual to own it and to move past it. I pray where forgiveness is needed, God, you will empower the person to give the forgiveness. I pray where there's long hurt from abuse from a long time ago that's has just risen in the family, even as of late. I pray, God, that you'll bring healing and hope and help to that, God. Rescue each one, I pray, today that's hurting, that's been wounded, I ask. We give you thanks. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be the sons of God. Bless your people in a beautiful way, I pray now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Come on, do you love him today with all of your heart, your soul, your mind? Let's give to God today. Let's honor him. Let's trust him in this area in our lives. My friend, Pastor Lou Perez, he sent me this last night. He said, giving is the cure for affluenza. What is affluenza? It is the all-consuming epidemic, a painful, contagious, socially transmitted condition of overload, debt, anxiety, and waste resulting from the pursuit of more. Yesterday, I was on my way. I was fully intended to buy something. And when I got there, it didn't work out. And when I left, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, "You didn't even ask me about that before you did it." And I felt convicted right then. I wonder if we asked the Lord every time before we wasted something and took from what God says is his, where we would be in our lives in 5 years, 10 years, 20 more years. Come on, ushers, let's honor him this morning with our giving, returning his tithe in our offering. Father, I thank you. I praise you for your kindness, your goodness today. I pray that you'll be glorified in our giving today. We give you all the thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you give today.
Hi, and welcome to the City Church. We're glad you're here today. There's always something going on that you can be a part of, so make sure you get out those calendars and mark these upcoming events down.
Join us this Thursday night for our Life Night service as Brad T. shares the message with us, 7 p.m. Sunday mornings from 8:50 a.m. to 9:40 a.m. in the Generation Center, there is a Bible study called The Story of Marriage, based on the book by John and Lisa Bevere. This is for people who are already married, people that are getting married, and people that would eventually like to get married. Come join us Sunday mornings in the Generation Center.
Prayer folk, come on down.
All ladies are invited to a ladies' coffee Thursday, March 19th from 9:30 to 11 a.m. This will be upstairs and childcare will be provided. This is for women of all ages. Make sure you sign up today. Join us this Friday night, March 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Generation Center for our missions dinner. Adults are $10 and kids are $5. We will be grilling out this Friday, so come on out and join the fun.
So speak life, speak life to the dead.
This year's Easter series is called Speak Life. Join us Easter Sunday, April 5th at 8:30 and 10 a.m. The week before is Palm Sunday, March 29th at 8:30 and 10 a.m. And join us for our Good Friday service, April 3rd at 7 p.m. if you stop by the foyer on your way out and pick up your Speak Life wristband today. We want to invite you to join us for the 9th annual Greater Rochester Night to Honor Israel, Sunday, March 29th at 6:30 p.m. at Bethel Christian Fellowship.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and on Instagram, and visit us online at thecitychurch.com. And you can always download PushPay to give from your mobile devices at any time. We do life together. We'll see you soon.
Good. Dee, she had something so sweet. I think it's appropriate. Prayer folk, if you're not down here, come right now. Go ahead.
The loving incident that we just had. If it had to happen with anybody, we both said to each other we were glad it was us.